Singing of a lovely old hymn. We're now going to have a Bible reading, and it's from granddaughter-in-law Tracy Wheatley, and she's going to read from Psalm 119, verse 105, and then Colossians 3, 1-4. Thank you, Tracy.
Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. In Colossians 3, verse 1 to 4. If any of you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you die, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory.
Thank you, Tristan. We know that that was very difficult. But those words are true for us. If we then be risen with Christ, seek those things above. Seeing it is there. We are seeking those things above. Achieved already enjoying things above. And I'm going to have a solo from Zena's sister, Wynne Robinson, who's have asked Wynne to come up. And the title of the piece is Amazing Grace. Thank you, Wynne. You know, I want to have granddaughter and daughter Anna Moon and grandson Paul Weekly bring the eulogy. Thank you.
Nana was born in Karoi to Jack and Jean Torrens on the 9th of January 1926. She was the 11th of 14 children. The family lived in Lanfra, Hunchy and Mumbai before settling in Maroochydore when she was 10. It was around this time that she came to know the Lord Jesus as her personal saviour. At 18, Nana joined the Navy and served in Brisbane and Townsville. It was in Townsville that she met Nick. 1 month and 1 day later, they were married. She was 20. After leaving the Navy, they moved back and forth between Hobart and Brisbane before settling in Sherwood. Despite the disappointment of two miscarriages, Nana and Nick were blessed with three children, Sandra, Robert and Peter. At 33, Nana rededicated her life to the Lord at the Billy Graham Crusade and was baptised at Corinda Gospel Hall. They enjoyed fellowshipping at Corinda, Centenary and most recently here at Billy Avenue.
I'm not usually better at light-hearted sort of stuff than this serious stuff, so he goes, as you all know, Nana was a very godly woman. Through the years, she has served the Lord in many ways. Hospitality was one of her gifts, and she displayed this through serving in the church kitchen, opening her home for Bible studies and youth, and even having people live in their home for both short and long term. Children held a special place in her heart. She taught Aria with Margaret Buckley in the local area and cared for the children during the Ladies' Friendly Hour at Kamira and in other gospel homes. Certain mothers could participate. I possibly received a little bit too much of the hospitality. Nana loved the word and held the weekly Bible study for local ladies, which saw some of them come to serve the Lord as their personal saviour and friends. She also faithfully visited her friend Merle for about 10 years to assist with her rehabilitation after a stroke. Always being sure to take a small gift of food. Food played a large part of her service for the Lord. Bathing and ironing for Sylvia's children home. Feeding workers for MMM and teams from the Logos. And putting together mystery parcels. Taking friends on holidays. Looking out for neighbours. Planning for home help. And even watching prisoners during a warden strike. The list goes on and on. Of course, her greater service was that to her family. She devoted most of her life to caring for Nick after his many operations. And it makes me feel like Nick is not low maintenance.
But we still love Nick. Nana was an inspiration to all who knew her, especially her family. She showed us the importance of being a family, loved us unconditionally, and never ceased to pray for us. Showing great interest in all we did, she enjoyed seeing us and being involved in our lives as much as possible. We remember Nana as being a lot of fun. We loved spending time with Nana, whether it was visiting at their house, going shopping, catching buses and trains to the city, going to Nana's coffee shop for a drink, playing football and other word games, having water fights, watching old romantic movies or just chatting. Through her everyday life, Nana taught us to be like Jesus. This is the power of Alexa Crane. Up until 2002, Nana enjoyed relatively good health. She was then diagnosed with breast cancer, which resulted in a mastectomy and radiation treatment. Nana took this all in her stride, but just 2 years later it was discovered the cancer had returned. This time she was treated with chemotherapy, but the cancer was too severe. For the last few months of her life, Nana was nursed at home by her two daughters, Sandra and Peter, her sister Wynne, other family, friends and nurses from Mount Oliver and Blue Care. The constant flow of visitors showed the many people Nana had impacted throughout her life. Jesus took her home on Mother's Day, Sunday the 8th of May 2005.
We're on the home stretch here. Nana was our spiritual matriarch, a deeply committed Christian who shared her faith with family and friends alike. She has left us a great legacy. Nana believed that it's our life's purpose is to love and serve God, be totally committed to Him, to pray and encourage one another, and show Christ's love to those around us. In the last couple of months, Nana received many letters from her family expressing their love for her and how she had affected their lives. This is all in here, actually, this crying thing. I'm just doing what it says to do. When thinking of whether she had done all of these things, she commented, "I just lived the way we're supposed to." She would encourage us all today to accept her Saviour as She would encourage us all today to accept her Jesus as our Lord and Saviour and to receive His forgiveness and eternal life. Those of us who have done this know that we'll see her again with Jesus by His side. We love you now.
You're up here beside me. You would hear a line of commentary. First of all, that was very brief. But the running commentary ended up in front of our brother Bill Newman. And he said, "Well done." And it was well done. We have now come to a segment in our order of service. I trust you have looked through what is happening this afternoon. And it comes with a heading, Time for Others to Share Grief. We're going to allot maybe 15, 20 minutes just for that. What we'd like you to do is come up here to the platform and come with this lectern. We prefer that because we'll get it direct at this mic. We could give you a radio mic, but I prefer personally to come up here. So while you're getting your head around this, could I have an indication how many would like to come? Because we'd like you to come flowing one after the other. I've got a few hands. Well, what I suggest, come right up here now, and when I give you the nod, you shall be up in front of this mic. But since I have the chair or the responsibility this afternoon, yours truly is going to be first off the rank. You like that, Nick? Because if I don't get in now, I won't get anywhere in edgewise. And Nick will kindly, he will have our good brother at the PA and record it, and he'll get my little, whatever I say, measured in minutes and seconds, because he says once they start, you can't shut them up. I'm going to prove you wrong. At the grave side today, our brother Harry mentioned that he knew Nick and Tina and family some 40 years, is that correct? 40 years. We came a little bit later, and that little bit later was 1974, January, and many will remember that year and that month because that was the year of the flood, and the flood had just started, and Nick and Zina and the family, Graham and Sandra and others, had their fair share of what it was to be flooded out and all the consequences around that. We came into the picture not because we were helping Nick and Zina during the flood. We didn't know them. We made contact somehow or other with Robert. in the front seat here. He had heard we were doing tapes or cassette copying and recordings, and he heard of Richard Wurmbrand, and I was asked to let him have a copy of those tapes. He in turn loaned them to his mum and dad, and of course his dad at our Corinthian assembly made contact with me. Now I must tell you, in those days Nick was rather shy. Can you imagine that? He wouldn't say through to a cat. He would sit in the car and with his commandeering way, because he has a commandeering way, when he speaks you jump. And he called me over, and I had the pleasure then of being introduced to Nick, and our friendship started back then. Sometimes he wonders if I'm really a true friend, because every now and again he'll ring me up and say, "Do you know where I live? Would you like me to tell you what my address is? You haven't been," and I'll not say the rest. And I'll not tell you what he said to me the other day when I arrived. I think he's got enough to contend with without me stirring him up. His turn will come. I've warned him, isn't that right? But the point is, we met him in 74 and a friendship grew. We, for whatever reason, although basically the reason was we enjoyed fellowship one with another, and a few of us used to meet in our home during the week to listen to cassette Bible studies on cassette. And the little room we had in the house used to be filled with eager people just sitting looking at each other, listening to a voice come through a loudspeaker. There was a couple of dear folk there. One was Margaret. Come on, Nick, is you Margaret? She was academic. And Terry Parsons. Anyway, Margaret and Terry, those two, and I hope they're not here today. If they hear about this, they'll have my, well, whatever. At the end of each of those studies, it was an academic discussion. And the rest of us just sat back and watched them debate, especially if it was a book of Revelation. And they were great times. Then we were introduced to camping, looking at Sandra and Graham. They were great ones for getting up to Little Yaba and other places and further afield. And through Nick and Zima, we got introduced to camping. We bought our first tent, tried it out, it was a failure. We learned that you should always put a tent up in your backyard, never up on the campsite, because everybody had a good giggle, which they did. But later we got a camping trailer, all because of the Wheatleys and Nick and Zena, and they encouraged us greatly to join with them on camping trips, especially in the January long weekend up to Little Yaba Creek. And there could have been 30 or 40 of us, I would say, of young people then, and the most beautiful times was the morning devotion around morning tea, and we really had some, as I say, delightful times there. There were barbecues down in Nick's backyard, down at Sandra and Graham's, up in our backyard, birthdays and things like that. Is Barney here today? I don't know what Barney is. Yes, he is. He will well remember Nick and the backyard barbecues and Zena looking after us all. And it's good to see these folk here today that remember these things. Then OM came. John Adams, where are you? He's here today. Maybe he might come up. He will. And he introduced us when there was evenings taken over by Sandra and Graham. The young people met there week after week. And Don introduced the OM and the Locust and all about that. And of course the Locust came to Australia. And Clive and Dorothy Kirk, I know Dorothy is here. And off we went to Sydney with Nick driving. We had quite a trip, didn't we, Nick? And when we got there, it was a wonderful time. But I'll not steal Don's, he can tell us a little bit about that. Then there was our Janet's wedding. Where is our beloved Wynn? She's over here. Zena and Wynn, or Wynn and Zena, organized a team to do the catering for Janet and Gavin's wedding. We had a great time. But for poor Zena and for Wynn, they didn't get to hear a thing, and I don't know if they got anything to eat. They just worked and worked and worked. That was Zena's delight. She was not really what we would say a platform person. She worked behind the scenes. She loved helping out the children. If it was a morning or a worship meeting, as we might say, at Corinda, the children that maybe felt that they were disturbing or not letting the parents relax, she would take the children downstairs to the kindergarten and look after them and look out. Well, that was Tina. She would put others first, and she worked like a Trojan. I'll never forget Mick and Zena moving Janet and Gavin to Bendigo. They had all their beloved possessions on Mick's truck. Mind you, it wasn't a coloured truck. We just had a canvas, and it rained the whole way. Even the very piano got soaked. But we didn't worry about that. We had a ball. We had a bonzo time. But here's the thing about Zena when you were travelling. To me, the country, if it was flat, I saw nothing but it was a dip from point A to point B. Zena could tell you if the grass had changed colour from the previous trip. She had an eye for detail, and on every trip, I tell you, she could tell you a story or two. And one of the things, you didn't need to go and ask the RACQ which was the best caravan park, did you? She knew every caravan park that they travelled, whether it was from here to West Australia or up north or wherever. You just asked Zena which is the best caravan park to go into, and she would give you the rundown. She was brilliant at that. Now I come to something that must have broke your Zena's heart. Nick was a great guy for helping people out. Many here would testify to that. Of getting work done, things made. He says, this is for thinking. This is for dancing, your feet. But yours truly, we had an old van, and then we got an old 71 coaster bus. When people said it couldn't be done, that was a red flag to Mick, it could be done. But Zena had to put up with it. He would say to me, I would say to him, what time do you want me down in the morning? What about 7 o'clock? Yeah, come down at 7 o'clock. Then I come at 7 o'clock. Mick wasn't starting work at 7 o'clock. No, 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 no. There was Zena and Mick, and they were at the breakfast table. And of course I would feel embarrassed walking in at the breakfast table. No, no, come and sit down. Have you had any breakfast? Yes, we can have some more. So we would sit at the breakfast table and lead on to a time of devotion. You wouldn't get up from that table without the devotion in the morning, the devotional, and they were good times. They had their first overseas trip to where? Brother John Sheen, you'll tell them about that, I'm sure, to the Solomon Islands. And what joy both of them had when they came back, that Zena was on a cloud nine, or up in the third heaven, and she really enjoyed that time. Well, I've said enough, and who's going to be first? We'll have our brother Ferris. And then what I suggest is just follow one after the other. And anyone else who wants to come up, I'll soon tell you when we're stopping. Thank you. Well, a couple of weeks ago I was at the Zena, and she gave me a bit of a surprise. She said, remember 28 years ago, you were the answer to my prayer. Nick didn't mean to know that, did she? And so it was that Zena and Nick were having prayer meetings in their home with Brother Adams over there. How are you, Don? And they were praying for some ministry outreach to reach the people around the district. And when I shared my vision for the Mailbox Bible Club, they were right behind us all the way. And Zena really encouraged my wife, Grace. Grace was like this, leaving her home in New South Wales, coming up, and this is a great vision, but will it work? And coming up, we didn't even know where we were going to live or anything else. But Zena met Grace there at Corinda, and she said, you're the answer to our prayers. This is what we've been praying for, a ministry. And so she's been a prayer partner with QMBC even before we were up and running. And we thank the Lord for Zena. And of course the time came when the work did get established down on Leybourne Street, and we needed some covers. And someone said, go and see Nick. And I went and saw Nick, and of course the old call is, come on in, sit down, want a cup of coffee. And I said to Nick, could you build me some covers for the work? He said, I'm so busy. Do you want them in steel? I'd rather have steel than wood. And So he was putting up a few complaints, but Zinga said, "Nick, do it for the Lord." And she said to me, "He'll do it." That afternoon, Nick was around to measure up. It wasn't long before he had the cupboards, and those cupboards are still at Yeronga, still stacked with lessons for the Lord's work. And we ended up with 1,200 odd students around the postcode from Chelma right up to Oxley. And so Zina was a prayer partner and an encourager. And on Sunday when I heard it, she was called home. In my mind I thought the Lord would say, "Come on in, sit down, and enter into your rest." God bless the family at this time. Thank you.
I still have to come up and say something. Zena's been like a mother to me, and the family has treated me just like a family. As you know, I don't have a mother, and she's always been mental. And I think Mother's Day is just the emblem of what she represents, such a loving person that didn't have just a small amount of love, but she had so much love to give to everyone. And she was so encouraging. They always say, "Come on, will you do it? Just do it, you know?" So, oh, Sandy, she's very encouraging, and she's just lovely, and, you know, miss her a lot, but we'll see her.
It would be really remiss of Mavis and I if we didn't say thank you, Father, for that beautiful life from that beautiful sister Zina. As has already been mentioned, we had some phenomenal times of fellowship. Nick helped on our home. Graham was right behind it. Graham said, "We have a Bible class over there every second Thursday. Would you like to come? We just come back from India." They took me into a room. There were people in Sandra and Graham's home. There were people everywhere, sitting up in chairs, sitting on the floor, sitting wherever they could. And with a heap of microphones. And I said, "What do you want?" They said, "Just teach us." So we started. And you know, they were really at one with the Lord. They were really in prayer. And they were ready to reach every home in Oxley, Chelma, Graceful, the lot. They got the rolls, the electoral rolls. They were going to write. They were ready to go. It was a wonderful time. And Zina was right the way in it. They helped so much in our home. Dear old Nick rang me one day and told me, he said, "You know, that day you prayed that the truck wouldn't bog." I said, "Oh, it didn't bog." "No, but he said it had to bog." "But I said it didn't bog." "No," he said. He said, "You know, I've just done a job and God really helped me, and it was the first time I've asked in prayer for his help. And God answered." Not a little thing. It was common amongst the group that whenever a soul was saved, they'd ring old Nick and tell him. Now there was another old Nick that would know too. But it was a wonderful thing. It was a wonderful fellowship. It was really something of the Lord. And also Gina was connected with the work at Kamira. Often I'd go up there, I think it might have been on a Tuesday, and those women's meetings were really something. I saw a girl there one day, and she was anti-God, really anti-God. And then she said to me, "I'd like to ask you a few questions." And of course, the ladies there were shrewd enough. This girl, this younger lady, said she had to go and do a shopping. They said, "Don will be here when you come back." So we drank coffee until she came back. And then she started plying me with questions, and she was angry. She told me about whether her mother would be in heaven. So we spoke with her, and the more I spoke with her, the more my eyes were opened. And after a little while she said, "You taught me in Sunday school." And that was exactly right. She came to the Lord, and we thank God for it. It was a wonderful work, and God was in it. And I'd just like to say, thank you, Father, for all that you did through such a caring sister and all those that were working with us. Yes, the OM was there. They were really into that. Nick helped make many of the shelves. They're still sitting on that Logos that's sunk over there in South America, sitting on a reef, but the books, cases and all the rest of it, the whole ship is still there. But it was a tremendous work of God. And we thank God for it. Thank you, Nick. And thank God for Sina.
Hello. I've come to know Sina and Nick just in the last handful of years. And meeting Sina and all her family have been very supportive and caring neighbours of my mum. And I just wanted to share something with you that happened only just 2 weeks ago. My son Andrew and I were having a lovely visit with Sina, and she was still able to share such wonderful words with her son in guiding him and saying that in choosing your friends, you choose your destiny. And I just like everyone to know how much that has really meant. As I grew up without any grandparents at all, I'd like Nick and the family to know how very much Lena will always stay in my heart and my son. And that although this is a very, very sad day for all of us, that we certainly do have very treasured memories of many wonderful times. Thank you.
Good afternoon, members of Zenders and Lyrics. I would like to take you back a long way, because Sina went to Marie Girl School and I went to Phil. So I won't be getting any details out of school. Around the 1938-39, I shifted near to Marie Girl, a place called the Dillabar. And those two cars had tracks there. So we used to go down to Marie Girl and pick up the girls and sit in the back of the truck, maybe go to Farmers, go to Budroom and things like that. And that was the only transport we had those days. Now, Zena was very popular with all the boys. And of course, we were all young, and I think all of them had ideas of marrying when we all grew up. But, of course, the war came along, and we all went away as boys. And the same goes, we came back as men. So when we got back, what happened? Nick came along and sweet Nick met her off her feet. And I lived up there, and we bought a house in Brisbane, and that was their home meeting place. For those that came from up around there, was our place. And Zena and anybody from Bristol used to come there. We'd all get together and we'd go to dances as groups. So after the war, I didn't come home right away. I was living around the corner, and there comes Zena. And you know what Zena's like with words. She met a friend, and Zena was 6 months pregnant. And she said to this lady, she said, oh, of course you know I'm married. And she said, this lady said, well, I hope so. And of course, after Sandra arrived, he came down the road, a young gentleman with a pram with a baby in it. And they were only just up around the corner. So that's how close we have been. And we've kept in contact with each other all those years. I live at Holland Park, Nick lives at Sherwood, Graceville. Somebody mentioned the 74 flat. When the 74 flat came on, I saw the news and I said, gee, Nick must be underwater. So I rang up and the phone was ringing like one thing, and I said to the wife, that phone sounds like it's ringing underneath water. Still kept in contact with each other all those years, and to come here today, if anybody around Richard Dorr in the 30s, early 40s, I'd like him to say good day to me. But we're over here, I don't know if you remember me, but do you? Frank Pitt? Yes, yeah, she does now. that is, Stephen and Nick have been some of our most valued friends in all these years, and we have a lot in common because we're both furniture manufacturers. Yes, I thank you very much.
Well, I thought I'd like to say a few words on a generation probably of their youngest daughter, Peter, and her husband, Kelvin. And our family has known the Nichol family for many years. We did go to the same church as families, and I know if ever there was a public holiday on the Monday, I know where we'd be on Sunday night. And we probably didn't get home until Monday morning. And that was, again, due to the hospitality of the Nichol family. We have many happy memories of the whole family, and I think I'll just leave you with this verse. The Lord Jesus Christ was asked this question, what is the greatest commandment? And he replied, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul and mind, and love your neighbour as yourself. And I say, Gina, I've taught many people in my life, and I've never ever come across a student with the name of Zina. She was certainly one of a kind, and she did fulfill the command of her Lord. Thank you.
Well, I was, then I wasn't, then I am again. But the commuter was mentioned, of course, that not that we had forgotten. But it's so weird that when the ladies' meetings were going on to come here, Zina was there every month. She'd get the train, Nick would drop her off at the train, or she'd walk down to Sherwood Station, and she'd get the train to Gales, Helen would pop down and pick her up and take her to the ladies' meeting, of course, under her home at that time. But I don't think she had a preacher. Even though they were good, she wasn't getting rid of them or getting out of them. But because there were so many children coming, she would take them up into her lounge and she would entertain them for an hour or so. While the meeting was going on, she was very faithful in that way. She certainly had a heart for the Lord, she had a heart for his children, she had a heart to reach out and be of use. Whether she was doing the reaching out or not, but so that others could be there to do the reaching out. And that is a ministry in itself. All that are not prepared to stand in front or even speak personally, but just to be a help, one of the gifts of the Spirit of God, to be a help. She was there constantly when she was needed. And of course, at Christmas time, when we went round to Street 70, when it was happening, when it was only the dirt road, the tracks in Canada, Nick had his truck. We bundled on to the back of it and we went down singing Christmas carols and so on. And we tremendous times. And it was great. But you couldn't do these without the back up of people who are willing to give of themselves. As somebody says, even attractive ability, she used to say, I can't really talk, and then she'd come on, yap, you know, and she, I don't know what to say, but she could talk, and that, but she, what she meant, she wasn't a front of person. She would be there to back up so that these people could present something of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. We never forget her, we really appreciated her ministry in every way possible. Thank you once again. Thank you.
I'm not closing this section off just yet, and I see Johnny has come up, and that's real good. What I would like to say, even though we have people come up, and we thank everyone for doing that, those who have come up and shared regarding Zina, we would like to thank all who have taken part this afternoon, just at this juncture, our dear pianist, and Wynn, who sang for us, and everyone who has been part of this afternoon celebration, even to the very afternoon tea, we want to say on behalf of the family a big thank you for all the help given. And before Danny comes, I'm looking now at Brother John Sheen, and I'm going to ask John, would you like to come up after Danny and say something of your experiences with Zina? And I think it would be more fitting for John to do it now, because as soon as Bill finishes, John's going to close in prayer, and we don't want to take away from anything that Bill will bring in his message this afternoon. So it may be fitting to do that as soon as Danny is finished. So John will come up. Now, if there is anyone else, please do come forward. We'll extend it for a few moments longer and encourage the family as we reminisce on our sister, our beloved sister, Zina. Thank you, Danny.
I'd like to say on behalf of my immediate family a word of thanks to Nick and Zina and their family for the care and concern and consideration to us as children. And later on in life, as I grew into adulthood, I spent time at the Nickel household boarding while I was the Yoronga TAFE. And Zina was truly like a second mother to me. She looked after me very well and did very well. And a couple of things through childhood reminded me in recent times. So we were walking along the road beside our house, and we have a frangipani. And because of the soil type in our area, it's struggled to grow. But it's taken root finally, and finally it's begun to flower. And the perfume of that flower is something that is really sets one's heart at peace. And I remember as a small child going down Central Avenue. There in Central Avenue, whether they're still there or not, I think they may be up towards the top end, were frangipanis planted on the footpath. And I remember on a number of occasions going down to the Nickel household for good reason that we won't go into now. The frangipani scent was something of comfort and peace and joy to my heart. And I was reminded just the other day when Joy and I walked along the roadway past our frangipani. It reminded me of Zina, and I took particular notes because this has only happened just a few weeks ago. Later on, as I was boarding with Nick and Zina, Robert was away in the airport. I got on very well with Nick, and still get on very well with Nick. And maybe it's because I tend to turn a blind eye and a deaf ear, and Nick would say, "Hey, what?" But perhaps the blind eye and the deaf ear have helped me, and perhaps there were times when I probably had to duck. But through it all, I've appreciated Nick and Zina. And one particular aspect of Zina's faith in God, we were discussing a passage of Scripture back in the days when George Wynn was a friend of Robert's who came to the Lord through a place where Robert was working at the time. We were discussing some theology about when does God give up on a soul? When does God say enough is enough? But Zina came to the conclusion, like these bull terriers that we have, God never gives up. And maybe we should have that attitude, that God doesn't give up. And we, as instruments of His, need to recognise the opportunities that are out there to say, as Zina did, God is faithful.
And so another little incident, we were away on holidays with Nick and Zena on many occasions, and while I was boarding with Nick and Zena, Friday night was something special. And we knew Nick really hated crispy golden chips. They'd get under my plate, he'd say. And Zena was baking tough and hard and crisp and crunchy. And of course that was a delight to me because I really enjoyed hot, fatty food. But Nick just was irritated by the crisp and crunchy. And so I can say from my family's point of view and me personally that Zena had a great input into my life, and I'm thankful to God for that. May God bless the Nickel family and the families and grandchildren, and may God bless each of us today as we remember the times. I remember just last week, Robert has a great saying. We would say, wasn't it great, those old things, you know, the butter churns. All those old things of past years, and he'd say, the best thing you know, Dan, about the past is history. But you know, history has brought us together here today, and we're able to share in the memories, and those things which have nurtured us and developed us as characters, and given us character through the likes of Zena. God bless you.
Nick, I'd like to say on behalf of all of our family how much we appreciate you and your family, and on this very special day we want to express our loving condolences to you all. I know that my mother and father today are praying for you, and they're sorry that they can't be here. But it's a privilege for me to say just a few words about Zena. Because, as others have said, and particularly as Paul has said, that Zena was the spiritual matriarch of their family. And I would say that I know that to be true. But also, her spiritual influence went far greater than the family as well, far greater. And from the age of 12 years, she was part of that spiritual community at Corinda Gospel Hall, in which I grew up too. And so it was really quite an amazing thing for me to just let you into the inside of my head for a moment. Because Nick and Zena had various times in various churches where they found fellowship. And there was a period of time when they found fellowship at the St. Henry Baptist Church when I was the pastor there too. And to have Nick and Zena there for me was kind of like a connection to my spiritual roots at Corinda Gospel Hall. And the encouragements that I received from Zena and from Nick have stayed with me and have been an enduring encouragement not only through those years, but they have extended to the present time. But I know that Zena has a particular and deep love for the Lord Jesus. And that is why she was like she was. And that came out of a heart for prayer and particularly a love to know the Word of God. She is hungry for the Word of God. I know that. And that's what helped her to develop and to grow. And my dad speaks about that aspect as well, about Zena's life. And I also know Zena and Nick together as great supporters of mission. Don has spoken about the practical ministries that Nick has had with the Logos and all of that, and the help that has been given to many mission organisations. But I know that together they have supported, and I've been a recipient of that in my work in mission as well. And then it was a particular joy, I think, as Harry mentioned before, that time that we went to the Solomon Islands for a prayer assembly. It was kind of like a highlight, wasn't it? It was a lifetime experience because it was a prayer assembly when people gathered from all over the South Pacific to pray. And during that time, Nick and Zina developed some very close friendships in the Solomon Islands. And I know that today, that particularly Mr. Jahil Kwamani and Cyrene Kwamani and Sir Peter and Lady Kenilorea and another group of people of that era would be really grieving the loss of Zina and thanking God as well for her life. But also through that, I would say, and it's come through many of the stories today, that I think of Zina as some kind of icon of motherhood. You know, when I think of Zina, I think of her primarily as a mother. Her greatest ministry, of course, was within her own family. But I just want to say today too, there are others of us who considered her to be a spiritual mother.
Time's almost up. Now, I won't say very many words at all, but I want to say that Zina came to this church and had fellowship with the people who came to this church. And I was impressed by their faith. I was impressed by a childlike reality of her faith. I don't think she missed a Sunday to come here and worship the Lord. I'm quite sure that many of the folk here will miss Zina. She was a woman who loved God. She was a woman who loved Christ. And she did not come here in this church for the sake of having fellowship only with the people, but she came here to have fellowship with the Lord that she loved. That was her primary desire. And I was impressed that even in the last few days of her life, she would make time to come and have fellowship with God. I was impressed with the reality of her childlike faith and her transparency. She was indeed a woman of God. And on behalf of this assembly, I want to say thank you, Nick, for a woman like Zina. I still remember visiting her just 3 or 4 days before she died. Just want to show you how interested she was in missions. And she was almost comatose. And we did not know whether she remembered or she recognised me and Merrill. And we just came back from New Guinea. And she looked, and I wasn't sure whether she recognised, and she said to us, "How was your trip? How was your trip?" She was interested in the work of God, no matter where the work was. You know, she was a woman, but she was also a lady. She was also a lady. It goes beyond that. She was a woman of God. A woman who loved Christ and his people. And Nick, on behalf of Village Avenue Community Church, I can assure you, we will miss her. But she's now relieved of her pain and of her suffering in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ.
That's a beautiful note to finish off with. On our open time, I take it that there's no one else that wishes to come forward. It's been an encouraging time. I'm really pleased that this was organized for the half of what we call an open time, because it has led folk from various backgrounds just tell how they felt about seeing whom they loved. would like to say just something that has come to my mind. Hari mentioned that Zena talked. When you could bring an additional, I would phone Nick, or Nick would phone me, he says to me, whatever the subject might be, I'll hand you over to Zena. And you ready for this? Either then say, and I won't get the phone back. And it's true. Because when Zena and I, she had a listening ear, that's what I'm really coming to say. She had a listening ear. And she would give encouragement. Even when we were dying, we would share with her things. And I remember just a lot of weeks back, Nick doesn't know this, and when she mentioned that she would like me to participate this afternoon, and I mentioned that I was dying, down in the dumps, and I don't know about you, but there are times when we review our lives, we look back and the years have flown in, and we wonder what we've done with our lives. And I was sharing this with Zena, it just came up in the conversation, it wasn't an intentional thing. And you know, she rehearsed things that happened in our lives, that she remembered, to encourage me that there was little X done for the Lord and for His glory. She had a listening ear. I'm going to ask Sally, where is Sally? Come.
Yes.
I'm going to ask Zena's granddaughter Sally, and she's going to give us some very precious words from Zena. Thank you, Sally.
A little while ago, me and Anna sat down and wrote this, and she asked me to read it today. One night I had a vision. I was lying awake in bed when I saw a rocky mountain. Some points of it were slippery and gravelly, whereas others were smooth and fun to walk upon. Thousands upon thousands of people were all walking up the mountain. Some were strong and walked quite effortlessly, whereas others struggled and began to slip in the gravel. When this happened, the strong ones would go over to the weak ones, help them up and set them on their way. The mountain represents the journey of our life on this earth. The strong Christians have to be there to support the weaker ones. God has brought many people into my life, which He has used to help and guide me. One person I would really love to thank in particular is my friend Helen. She has always been there for me as a friend and as a prayer partner. Helen, thank you for everything. Thanks for the many others as well. Ultimately, I just want to thank God for my life. He blessed me with amazing parents who brought my siblings and I up to obey His ways. Although when I was younger, I can't say I obeyed them all too well. You grow up and you realize how smart your parents were and how little you knew at that age. Life's funny like that. I want to thank God for the husband He gave me. Nick, thank you for the good times and the bad times. You have always supported me throughout our marriage, especially when I did too much in the past year. It must have been hard to do things you've never been called on to do, and I thank you for this. I also like to thank God for the beautiful children He gave us, Sandra, Robert, and Peter. He truly blessed us with our kids, and also with our daughter-in-law and our sons-in-law. Remember the lovely times we shared as a family, such as all the holidays we put together. We used to love going to Tasmania, it was our favourite because we used to live there. Also remember the wonderful times when we camped together, especially with the church group. I thank you for all of our grandchildren. Some of them remember being taken to Nana's coffee shop in the Rose Arcade in the city. They loved visiting there, it's a special memory for them all. The great-grandchildren are still quite small. Yet already they've been special in my life and have brought me much joy. My family has been great, always there to support us whenever we need it. Thank you to all of you. I'll see you all in heaven. I'll be waiting for you. It looks like the day when we can all meet again.
We're going to have a hymn. Brother Harry is going to lead us in our hymn, "Because He Lives." And it is because He lives that each of us will be able to face tomorrow. Thank you.
We'll stand and sing this hymn, please, and we'll start with the chorus first of all, just sing the chorus first and finish up with the chorus.
My sins for our sins, you have to change.
Thank you. Beautiful, beautiful words, man, but I trust, and I don't need to trust that. I do know that it would be a great encouragement to Nick and his family. Just before I ask our brother Bill Newman to come and bring this devotional message, I think it is worth mentioning that after all who have taken part in this service today, this celebration, it is worth mentioning that our dear brother and his wife at the back of the PA system is recording everything of the proceedings. And we thank him for that. And I'm sure he won't mind if I announce that if you want a copy of today, because some very precious things have been said and I feel could be taken and shared elsewhere, you just come to that desk at the back, that sound desk, give your name and address, and they'll organise that you get a copy, be it a CD or a set. And on that note, I'll ask our brother Phil to come forward, because as soon as Phil finishes, John will come up and close in prayer. While he will, yes, close in prayer. Follow, please don't go, arise from your seats, because as soon as he finishes in prayer, there will be a PowerPoint presentation, and we'd like you to stay for that as well. Thank you, brother.
I just want to take it as our text this afternoon, a verse in 1 Corinthians, in chapter 2, and I'm reading from verse 9. These are powerful words, listen to them. And no doubt we could have had more people up here. It's been a wonderful afternoon. And I know that so many things have been expressed and so many more could have come up this afternoon and shared wonderful thoughts with us. But I'm just wondering if you'd like to just jot them in a letter and send it to Nick and the family. And I'm sure that they'd appreciate that in time to come too. So to Nick and Sandra and Graham, Robert, Sharon, Peter and Kelvin and all the family, again, express our sympathy for this time. And Michael has expressed them from the church. I was going to do that, but we certainly do that. You know, we like to think that behind a great church in Village Avenue, we're thankful to say it's a wonderful church fellowship. And we like to think it's the men, but really, as I study churches, if it's a good church, it's because we've got good women in that church. They are the anchor to any church. And we've lost Zena, and I really encourage those of you who are younger women out there, step up to the plate in her place and encourage us in that way. So I want to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. Listen to this very carefully. It's a beautiful verse. Notice what it says. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive what God has prepared for those who love Him. Can I read that again? No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive what God has prepared for those that love Him. Isn't that a beautiful verse? In my devotions the other day, I read this and I thought it was so powerful. I wanted to share it with you this afternoon. John Maxwell tells of attending the funeral of Jane Chapman, wife of his good friend Tom Chapman. During the service, the following poem was read. Listen to it. I'm standing on the seashore. A ship appears, spreads her white sail in the morning breeze, and starts for the ocean. She is an object of beauty, and I stand watching her till at last she fades away on the horizon. Somebody at my side quietly says, she is gone. Gone where? Gone from my vision? That is all? She is just as large as when I saw her last. The diminished size and loss of sight is in me, not her. And just at that moment, when someone at my side says, she is gone, then others who are watching her coming and voices take up the joyful sound, here she comes. Mother's Day morning, some angels were given an assignment to come to a bedside of a frail little body and conduct the soul of that precious body right into the presence of God. And just as we wrap it up very quickly this afternoon, I want to speak about the home that Zena is now enjoying. The heavenly home. She worked hard in the home while she was here, and many of us have visited that home in Central Avenue there. And it's an unusual home. Not a lavish home. I don't think they got the furniture from their home from some of the top furniture stores in town. But it's one of the most beautiful homes, because in that home you can sense God's peace and certainly God's love. It's an unusual home. I was sharing with Graham. Even the paintings on the wall. You and I would just have a nice little hook on the wall and daintily hang a painting. Not in the Nichols house hole. They're all screwed to the walls with great bolts. That's the kind of home that it is. But it's a wonderful home. But now let's look at Zena's home. And I think we all nearly lost it this afternoon, I certainly did. As we heard those words from Zena, the appreciation to us as friends and for the life that she's enjoyed, and those words to her family. What a precious note that was. But let's have a look at the home this afternoon. The home that now Zena's enjoying. Number one, it is a purchased home. The home in heaven that Zena now enjoys was bought for her. Now we look at the prices of homes escalating in Brisbane right this time. But I tell you, the home that Zena enjoys now was bought for the most lavish price that you could possibly imagine. Because it was bought with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Revelation 7:14, it speaks about those in heaven bought with the precious blood of Christ. So in order for Zena to have that home in heaven, it was procured at tremendous cost. It cost her absolutely nothing. But it was bought at great cost, because it was procured when Jesus Christ hung on that cross and shed his precious blood. That precious blood was the price that enabled Zena to enjoy the glories of heaven for the whole of eternity. But then secondly too, and this is so beautiful, it is a prepared home. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, and as I was sitting beside Zena's bedside the other day, and conscious as she were, she can still speak to them. They can still hear you. And that's why it's important when someone is in that condition to read the Word of God and to pray with them. But I read this verse amongst other verses. John 14, do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. The old authorized says in many mansions. Well, actually, it means rooms or abodes. We often think, well, you know, Zena will get a mansion and maybe we'll get a little cabin in the corner of Glory Land. But I've got good news for you this afternoon. They're all the same. And we're all going to enjoy those beautiful abodes, those rooms together. If it were not so, I would have told you, Jesus said, I am going to prepare a place for you. On earth, Jesus was the carpenter. He would have been the best. He would have built the best homes. But I tell you right now, he's been preparing a home in heaven for 2,000 years. So it's going to be a wonderful home. I'm going to prepare a place, not a figment of the imagination. It's a literal place, a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way and the place where I'm going. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. Zena made that decision in her life as a young girl, and then later during that Billy Graham crusade, rededicated her life to Christ. So she was prepared. She was prepared to go to be with God in his heaven. There was a court jester one time who went to a king, and the king was so entertained by this court jester, he handed him his walking stick. And I'm so ashamed, I just had an operation on my knee. And I brought this bag along. You thought it was my Bible bag. Actually, it contains a walking stick, but I didn't have the courage to use it as well. How embarrassing is that? But he handed the jester his walking stick. And he said,
Go throughout my kingdom. Try and find a bigger fool, a jester, a comedian than you. And he came up back after many years. He said, well, did you find somebody? He said, no. He said, my friend the king, you're dying. Have you prepared to go to heaven? He said, no, I haven't. He said, well, today I've met a bigger fool than myself. Zena was prepared. She had given her life to Jesus Christ, and she was prepared for heaven. Thirdly, heaven is a peaceful home. Listen to these words in Revelation. I think they're wonderful every time I read them. Revelation 21, verse 4. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. The old order of things has passed away. So it's going to be a very, very wonderful, peaceful home. In heaven, there are no cemeteries, no hospitals, no medicines. Why? Because it's going to be a wonderful place. We're going to have a new body. As I was talking to Zena, I said, Zena, your body is frail right now. It's so fragile, so tormented with pain. But Zena, soon you're going to have a new body. And I read to her from Philippians, where her body is going to be just like the body of Jesus. That's the wonderful home that we're going to have in heaven. It's going to be a peaceful home. I don't know how peaceful that home was at the time with all you guys being there, but it's going to be a peaceful home. And then too, I love this as well, it is going to be a protected home. We've been hearing about the floods that you went through and that seemed to have been impressed on Nick's mind. I remember one time we were driving down to Melbourne. You remember that, Nick? He kills me every time. And we were soaring along. I don't know what speeds we were doing on the straight outback roads. And he had this V8 car and he was giving it everything that he's gotten. He reckoned I was sleeping on the back seat. I wasn't sleeping. I was painted on the back seat of the car as we were driving down there. But listen to these verses. I love this. This is the words of Jesus. Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroys and where thieves break in and steal. But store up yourselves treasure in heaven, where moth and rust does not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So it's a protected home. We don't have locks on the homes in heaven. We have them here. We have to protect ourselves. But Jesus himself will protect us in heaven. But I love this verse as we wrap it up this afternoon, dear friends. Heaven is not only going to be a purchased home, a prepared home, a peaceful home, a protected home. But listen to this, it's going to be a pleasurable home. I love these verses. In Psalm 16, verse 11, you have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. So heaven is going to be a wonderful place. We can't possibly imagine just how wonderful it's going to be. Let me read it again. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive what God has prepared for those who love him. And right now, Tina is in heaven. Not a frail, sickly body, but a beautiful body again in heaven. And she's saying to us all this afternoon, look, I'm up here. I want you all to join me in heaven. Give your heart. Give your life to Jesus Christ. He's made it possible. He died on the cross for you. He rose again from the dead. He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even though he died, yet shall he live. No one in this world who has ever lived there to make such a claim, except the person of Jesus Christ. And if we come and give our lives to him, he gives us the most wonderful gift, the gift of eternal life. One of the hardest things that I've ever had to do a little while ago was to take the funeral of my own mother. And as we were sharing, I shared the fact that Dorothy and I had the joy of bringing my mother some time ago to the Lord Jesus Christ, and she had the joy of knowing that she had eternal life. In fact, I produced a little pamphlet, Eternity, How Can I Be Sure I Have Eternal Life? And I said to the friends who were at that funeral, I said, look, if you've come to the service this afternoon, maybe you're a neighbour, you're a friend
of mum, if you're not certain that you have eternal life, please come up and take one of these from Dorothy or I. We'll leave some at the back of the chapel where we can tuck them. But so many people came. So many people took them. Pastor David Hunt from our church here will be up the back, and I'll have some of these as well. If you're not certain that you have this wonderful gift of eternal life, that you've got a home prepared in heaven for you like Zena, this is the day to make sure that you've got the gift of eternal life. And nothing would give Zena greater joy knowing that today you've received Jesus Christ into your heart to be your Saviour and your Lord. John, would you come and close with a word of prayer? God bless you all, and particularly Nick and all the family this time. Thank you, John. Let's all stand for prayer. Father, we thank you this afternoon that there is life in Jesus Christ. We thank you for that eternal life that begins at that moment when we trust him as our Saviour. And we thank you for the surety of your word, Lord, that promises us resurrection, the Christian hope. We thank you, Father, for that word that says that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And that is our belief. And so, Father, we can say with confidence today that for everyone who knows Jesus, it is not goodbye to Zena, but it's more like see you later. And so, Father, we thank you for Zena's life, and we pray in this moment for the family, for in their human sense of loss, there is also thanksgiving and joy, because their wife, mother, grandmother is in heaven. And so, Father, for all of us, we say thank you for this gift of life that you gave to us through Zena. We thank you, Father, for this gift to enrich our lives that she gave to us. And we know that she did it because she had the Holy Spirit flowing through her life and ministering to us in that way as well. And so, Father, as we come to the conclusion of this time, we would say to God be the glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Beautiful of my